वासुदेवाय नारायण नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्राये स्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दायो नमो नमः। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्ठम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 43 कृष्ण किल्स द एलिफेंट टेक्स्ट नंबर 4। अम्बस्थावस्थ मार्गम नो देहि अपक्रममाचिरम् न चेत् स कुञ्जरम् त्वाद्य नयामि यमसाधनम्। अम्बस्थाम्बस्थ मार्गम् नो देहि अपक्रममाचिरम् नो चेत् स कुञ्जरम् त्वाद्य नयामि यमसाधनम्। अम्बस्थाम्बस्थ मार्गम् नो देहि अपक्रममाचिरम् नो चेत् स कुञ्जरम् त्वाद्य नयामि यमसाधनम्। Mathesis. What word translation? Ambastha, ambastha. O elephant keeper. Elephant keeper. Twice it comes. Ambastha, ambastha. Elephant keeper, elephant keeper. Margam. Way. Now. To us. Dehi. Give. Apakrama. Move aside. Machiram, without delay. Nauchet, if not. Sakunjaram, together with your elephant. Thwa, you. Adya, today. Nayami, I will send. Yama, of the Lord of Death. Sadhanam, to the abode. Translation. Lord Krishna said, O driver, driver, move aside at once and let us pass. If you don't, this very day I will send both you and your elephant to the abode of Yamaraj. Text 5, translation. Thus threatened, the elephant keeper became angry. He goaded his furious elephant, who appeared equal to time, death and Yamaraj, into attacking Lord Krishna. Text number 6. The Lord of the Elephants charged Krishna with and violently seized him with his trunk. But Krishna slipped away, struck him a blow, and disappeared from his view among his legs. Purport. Lord Krishna struck the elephant with his left hand, with his fist, and then disappeared among his legs. Hare Krishna. So, I'm here to speak something on this, not feeling qualified at all, but devotees are eager to hear and giving me strength to speak. And whatever I speak will be not kind of realization, but some kind of observations. So, if you like, you note it down. We have been hearing many war stories nowadays, being Ramayana, Ram Navami. And His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami was speaking to us how the Lord has this viriyaras which He wants to experience. And in Vaikuntha it is not available. So I am speaking my speculative observations. If any mistake, please forgive. But if you see, Krishna in Golok is experiencing viriyaras also, because he wrestles with his friends. But it's not available in Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is, Lord Narayana is like kind of helpless. He wants to fight, but that rasa is there within. So therefore he sends. You know that pastime happens, four kumaras come and Jaya Vijaya was sent three lifetimes as enemies. So that the Lord can experience. He descends and experiences viriyaras. And they come as arch enemy of the Lord, Vishnu. They identify strongly with that position as arch enemy of Lord Vishnu. And therefore, all other demons naturally gather under them. Because they are the, you know, villain. Like Maharaj was saying, villain. So all small time hater of Lord Vishnu, who wants to enjoy their senses, be proud and just exploit, enjoy the senses to any extent and just control everybody. So these kind of people, they gather under him because he gives protection to those vices. Jaya Vijaya, when they come as Ravana or Hiranyakashipu, they give protection to the vices. And people having those qualities, they naturally grouped under him. Or because of out of fear, whatever it is. Because of strength, fear, but at the same time he offers the protection to their vices. And Lord, he enjoys his virya rasa, fighting with his devotee basically, and bringing him back to his abode. But in the process, he cleanses the surface of earth with many sinful people, demoniac principles, people following demoniac principles. So when we look at them, when Krishna comes, he basically enjoys his pastimes in Vrindavan. And same Jayavijaya distance as Shishupalanantavakra. And other demoniac forces like Kamsa, Jarasandha are also kind of powerful figures. Interestingly, Kamsa is not either Jayavijaya. He is like another personality. So, in fighting Kamsa, Krishna just finishes him very quickly. There is not much. Like Ramchandra kills Ravana, there is a huge war. Narsingdev kills Hiranyakashipu. There is a whole kind of detailed description of fighting, how he is fighting. The Virya Rasa is explained. Krishna very quickly kills Kamsa. But in the process, he also, there are many things are happening. And because he is full of rasas. So, although these Virya Rasa is there, but the primary rasa that the Lord experiences are this Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, and also Santaras. These are higher rasas, it is explained in the Shastras. And the Lord experiences that, and He wants to distribute that also to the people, to attract them to that higher rasas. So what happens? If we see this world, this human society, the history of human society is a history of wars, basically. There is always wars happening. To take any person in the history of the humankind, in his life, in his or her lifetime, you will see there is at least some wars happening. Isn't it? So, in last century, there are two major wars. They say this World War I, II. The number of people they killed, were killed in this wars, where they said more than the last 20 centuries of wars because of advanced weapon systems. World War I, 35 million. World War II, some 85 million people. In the war field, they were killed. The civilians were also killed, many, some 30, 40 millions, like that. So, living in this world which is filled with this kind of wars, one may wonder, what is the philosophy behind the wars? What causes war? Why wars were there? Why not everybody wants peace, but why it is not there? So if we just think about it, very simple answers that will come to mind. People fight for various reasons in this world, mostly for economic and political. That is one way. Economics and political science, they are like two sides of the same coin. We cannot separate them. They are like the same thing basically. Therefore we see Chanakya Pandita writes Arthashastra, but basically speaks about political maneuvers, and war is part of that. Everything is there. Political and economics and war. This is called, combined is called Arthashastra. And the biggest brain throughout the history basically pondered over these three things. The science and technology taking up past few. Why science and technology given importance? Because of war. Not because it is glorious in itself. Many intelligent brains went into making atomic bomb, which is basically war. That is the biggest thing that happened in the last century. So, the best of the brains throughout the history, they discuss more on politics, economics, and war. And anybody who is connected in that field, they are also given chance and scope to work and develop. So this is one major reason why wars are there. And another reason it is explained that there is an adventure in war which people like. It's an adventure. Go and fight, kill or be killed. It's like adventure, which is a human instinct. It is there within. Otherwise people just settle for peace, you know. Forget economics, political science, just be peaceful. Unless the instinct is there within to fight, nobody is going to fight. This instinct is there. And probably that is the minute virya rasa which every living entity is having compared to what Supreme Lord is having. So that is another reason it is explained why wars are there. And of course the one more is distribution of power, being powerful, being controller, that is the asuric nature. Therefore we see people like Hitler, Stalin, these are the people who are not just interested in politics and economics, they are interested in controlling everything under them. Like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, same mentality. This is another reason why wars are there. And the last is of course the what is called Dharma Yudha or religion, war based on religion. Of course, this is a very sensitive topic in the sense religion for politics or politics for religion. These are like two different things. So, through politics we want to establish religion or through religion we want to establish our own political system. That is the question. So, Dharma Kshetra Kurukshetra, that war was fought in the Kurukshetra war. It was to establish Dharma. So, when the Lord descends to do these activities, first, of course, this chivalry, virya rasa, he experiences in the process of war. But then, that is not the only aim to experience that. The other aim, sir, that he wants to establish dharma through that war. He wants to eradicate. Yada adi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srajameham paritrana sadhana binasayacha dusrutam. He destroys the dusrutam, establishes dharma, so that right ruling happens over the general mass of people. Because general mass of people in general are they are like ignorant. They don't know what is good for them. So the powerful brains who are devising, you know, planning commission and whatever it is, they decide the future of people who are living under the political systems. So if the right ruling happens, then why Krishna facilitates that? Because then people will start thinking about liberation instead of getting entangled in this world. Otherwise nobody will think about it, because by their own strength they are quite ignorant about the knowledge of liberation. They are ignorant about entanglement and suffering of this world. So the right ruling is required so that people can think about liberation. Dharma artha kama moksha. That is, dharma will help in not only help in economics, artha, and kama, sense gratification, that is stable society, regulated sense gratification, and there is a proper political economic system. And not only that will also help them to think about liberation and achieve the ultimate goal of human life. So that's why the Lord displays the chivalry, not just to experience some rasa. And besides, while doing these things, the Lord gives immense pleasure to his devotees. This war, on one angle it is very ghastly. We are all devotees. Like Prabhupada was asked once, what we should do if there is a third world war? Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. We don't do anything, just chant Hare Krishna. will be chanting Hare Krishna. And it is purposed because of Hare Krishna movement, there is no war so far. And some are there in Middle East, some places. But there is a lot of peace experienced from the point of view of very less wars nowadays, because we are chanting Hare Krishna. So, Lord, not only He wants to experience the civil, but He wants to establish a proper dharma through political systems. And and the devotees, they experience great pleasure while Lord performs such pastimes. It is interesting how Krishna is walking through Mathura, and the way He killed the washerman is very ghastly actually, you know. Just His head was lopped off, one blow. Can you imagine seeing such a scene? It's very horrible, horrifying. But then devotees are happy. Somebody may say, why? How can it be so? How can devotees be happy? Our Lord Ram kills 14,000 Rakshasas in a matter of 2 hours. You know, he's shooting arrows like, you know, speed of wind and mind. And chopping, killing. So, but then, if we again observe ourselves, this entertainment business, you know, they know that people have this tendency to derive happiness when such violence are exhibited, isn't it? Therefore, the movies are filled with this kind of activities, you know, killing and all these things. But then, in a spiritual sense, when a person is actually spiritually situated, the happiness he experiences out of Lord's activity is different from the way people experience while watching movies. It is completely different. So, the way the Lord slaughters, kills and destroys is something amazing. A similar thing a hero does in a movie, you know, fighting with many people, killing, destroying, strategy, you know, plans and all these things. Also attractive, but then it is not spiritual. Because the war that we are speaking about in this world is based on lust and greed. They are not dharma yudh. The first three categories, three or four categories, adventure, all this that I said, political, economics or power, they are based on lust and greed. So sometimes devotees would ask Srila Prabhupada, you said the Kshatriyas, when they fight a war happily, they go to heavenly planets, they achieve heavenly planets. So what about war between France and UK and things like that? Or Germany? Prabhupada said, no. Because they are not dharma. Basically, Prabhupada said a very simple, he explained very simple. He said, German want to enjoy senses like this, and France want to enjoy senses in another way. Therefore, there is a fight. How to enjoy senses? Not how to serve people. Or how to bring that ultimate goal within the humanity. That is not the purpose. So therefore, there is no question of going to heaven. It is just, there is just fighting for their sense gratification and greed. That's all. So the Lord, He fights, He enjoys His chivalry with His own devotee basically. Then He establishes dharma, and that establishment dharma ensures that people in general get closer and closer to the Lord and understand the superior nature of the higher rasas and aspire for that. And at the same time, the Lord gives pleasure to His devotees. So here also we see how Krishna is challenging this koival, this elephant. And it is said that elephant is having actually strength more than 10,000 elephant strength is in one elephant. And we know how elephants are very powerful. elephants with his tusks can actually uproot big, big trees. They have tremendous power in the trunks. So the Lord, while he was entering, the elephant was blocking the road. The Lord challenged, and in a very kshatriya spirit. It is explained that Sukadev Goswami is explaining that when Parikshit Maharaj is hearing about these pastimes, he was about to die in 7 days. So his death was imminent. It was like about to happen. But when he hears that how Krishna protects his parents and all the devotees, at the same time destroys the elephant who is actually death personified. It is explained, he goaded the furious elephant who appeared equal to time and death. That elephant appeared to be death. Nobody can survive in front of that elephant. 10,000 elephant strength in one elephant is like intoxicated and like mad. So he appeared like death, but Krishna is destroying death personified. So that gives very much strength to Parikshit Maharaj that whatever is going to happen is not going to destroy me, because Krishna is going to protect. He can destroy death. Therefore, I don't have to worry about death, but rather focus on Krishna's glorious activity. So although he was a tender boy, it is explained how he tied his hair back. His curly hair was, it was falling all over his face. So he pulled his hairs and tied it behind. It must be a very beautiful sight. And then he removed his jacket and threw it aside. And then he tightened his waist belt. This karate, those who have gone to karate school, they have to tie the waist belt before you go for a bout. So he tied his waist belt and said, challenged. He said, either you move or now, right now. He didn't say achirat, means without any delay, I will send you back. But then that furiated the elephant keeper, and he became angry, and the elephant also became angry. They were attacking. And Lord Krishna, he doesn't kill the elephant very quickly, because he wants to enjoy this chivalry rasa. He really wants to fight, and the elephant quickly grabs him. 11-year, 12-year-old body, just grasp it with his tusks. But then Krishna slips out of it. It doesn't say in this translation how it sleeps, but Vishnu Chakrabarti says he gave him a blow on his fist with his left hand. He just gave a blow with his left hand that was so heavy that he had to release his tusk, and Krishna slipped out. And he went through his legs, and he was hanging behind one leg. Then the elephant couldn't see, because it's a heavy body. They can't move the head anywhere they like. It's not so flexible. So therefore, the elephant uses a tusk to smell Krishna's body and find out. Krishna's body must be very fragrant. And the elephant was getting to smell Krishna actually. But as soon as he would move his tusk towards one leg, Krishna moved to another leg. Like they were going from one leg to another leg. And then he grabbed his tail. It is going to come in the future verses. So, the Lord doesn't destroy the elephant right away, but plays around with him. Similarly, we see Hiranyakashipu also. The Narasimhadev would not kill him immediately. He would grab him and let him go. And he would gather his strength, thought that probably he couldn't take my, I'm stronger, therefore he had to release me. So like that he would think. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada explains that sometimes we see that impious people seem to enjoy more than devotees. Like sometimes people have this complaint, devotees are not, why, how could people who are sinful, how could people who are impious, they're progressing economically. how they're enjoying, and they're enjoying and become prouder and prouder, and they look at us as if they have a pity on us. How is it so? Srila Prabhupada said, actually, it's like the Lord is grasping Hiranyakashipu, letting it loose for some time, and he feels that he is happy. He feels that he is enjoyer. He feels that he is in control, he is powerful. Similarly, people who are sinful, it's just a matter of time. Few verses more, and Krishna will destroy. So it's just a matter of time. Sinful activities can never endure. It has to be destroyed with time. So therefore, Prabhupada assures devotees, you should not be disturbed or distracted or bothered when we see sinful people seem to be or appearing to be enjoying in this world. Just a matter of time. Of course, we know the sin itself is also a cause of miseries, distress. It's just the sheer ignorance and pride that makes people think that they're happy and enjoying. So, but even if the Lord has the desire to experience this virya-rasa chivalry, it's not that he plunks into war right away. It is said that he always gives peace a chance. Even here in this world where the war is a very continuous phenomena, here also he wants to give peace a chance first. So therefore we see how Krishna went as Santidut. It is explained that Narasingadev tolerated Prahlad being tortured for so many times before he actually attacked Hiranyakashipu. And similarly, we see Lord Ram also gave a chance to Ravana. And how do we know this? Because first Hanumanji went as an ambassador, he offered. And it is explained that Bhivishan actually gave many counsels. Radha Gopinath explained so nicely that day, the whole dialogue between Vibhishan and Ravana and how he came and surrendered. So, the Lord always gives peace a chance. Not that he wants to kill or experience his own chivalrous. He gives peace a chance. So, but what happens? The people who are like covered by pride and arrogance, they are unable to surrender. So the external war is happening because of the inner war actually. If the inner war is conquered, then there is no question of external war, there is just peace. Whether it is Hitler or Stalin or Ravana Hiranyakashipu, that pride that I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, that everybody should be my servants, that kind of tendency within our heart, the demoniac nature, basically doesn't allow a person to surrender to the Lord and experience higher rasa. He doesn't want to fight. He wants to give peace a chance. Then we can, of course, his friends are fighting with him, but that's a sport. That rasa is experienced in a sportive spirit, and there is simply increase of happiness. So this inner war has to be overcome so that one can surrender to Krishna. So when Vibhishan comes, actually there is a whole dialogue among Lord Ram and the monkeys, Sugriva, Angada and Hanumanji. And Radha Gopinath very nicely explained that how Sugriva saying just kill him, no need to consider even. Angad said we should send some spy and find out, allow him for some time to stay with us and study him, spy over him like a KGB. Study his where he is going, what he is doing, and all those things study and then allow. But Hanumanji says no, his demeanor is good, his approach is good, his intentions are very clear. It appears in his from his face that he is actually truly wants to surrender. Hanumanji could study and understand the mind. I think therefore he was sent to study Bharat Maharaj also later, whether there is any. So But Lord Ram says, it is explained by the Rityan Prabhu was telling me, that he was telling that in Sri Sambhada they discussed this matter. When Lord Ramchandra heard the points by the Angad and Sugriva before asking Hanuman, when he heard their opinions about rejecting Vibhishan directly or indirectly, he was very upset. He said, they are living with me and they don't know what I want. They don't know that actually I want to give shelter to everyone. That is my nature. And they don't understand. So he is a little upset. And then he asks Hanumanji. And Hanuman says, okay. And Hanumanji doesn't say that I am favoring Vibhishan because he protected me in Lanka. Because that would go against Vibhishan. If he says that Vibhishan actually, you know, told Ravana not to kill me but rather, you know, do something else. So if he says at this point to Lord Ram that he protected him, therefore he should be favored, that would go against Vibhishan's actual intention to surrender. So therefore he doesn't speak about that. He just speaks that his demeanor is good, he's a nice person. We should allow him. And Lord Ram says, then of course, Hanuman just says, you are the best person who can actually explain. I'm just saying because you want me to speak. But you say, what is your desire? Then Lord Ram says, actually, he gives a third opinion in the sense that some says good, therefore you surrender, some says it's not good, therefore you surrender. He says, no, no. Anyone who says, I am yours, I accept. That's all. There's no consideration good or bad. Anyone who says, I am yours, sakrateva, prapurnosmi, that even once one says, I am yours, I immediately accept. And at that point, he says, that even Ravana, if he comes, now Ravana doesn't have good intention. Vibhishan had good intention. Okay, but Ravana can never have good intention. That means he says, even Ravana comes, who has an opposite intention like that of Vibhishan, even he says, I am yours, I'll accept him. And I'll give you Abhaya. Abhaya means no fear. Now sometimes I was thinking, what is this benediction Abhaya? You know, normally we think of name, fame and money, prestige, power, all those things people think in normal standard way of thinking in the material world. What is Abhaya? But on the other hand, you see, like His Holiness Radhakrishna Swami also speaking one Sunday feast, he was saying that somehow this fear is one of the major emotions that is constantly accompanying living entities. You see, whether man or woman, child or old man, even a child experiences fear, old man experiences fear, young, when the king experiences fear, the thief experiences fear, everyone experiences fear in this world. You know, Brahmacharya fear in Maya. Everybody has fear. So, protection from fear means protection from everything. And there is nothing to worry about anymore. And that is the best benediction one can ever think of. And Lord Ram says, you say once I am yours, and this benediction is bestowed. But then to say that, you know, it is not so easy. And Sripad Ramanacharya was explaining this pastime to his disciples sitting in, you know, this is like 12th century, 13th century, South India. And his great disciples are sitting and Ramanacharya himself speaking this pastime. And as he was speaking, one of his disciples, Dhanurdhar, everybody was happy hearing about Vibhishan surrender and Vibhishan got, you know, Abhipradhan, he was installed as king immediately, instantly. Everybody was happy with the charitable disposition of Lord Ramchandra. But Dhanurdhar felt little, Dhanurdhar became unhappy. He was upset. He stood up and started leaving the assembly without speaking anything. Very morose and just quietly he was leaving. And as he was leaving, Sripad Ramanacharya immediately says, Dhanurdhar, where are you going? What happened? Why are you unhappy? Then he just said that actually Vibhishan is a very qualified personality. He left his position, his power, his family, abandoned his family. He did all these things and came to surrender to Lord Ram. And there was a big conference whether to accept him or not accept him. Although he is so qualified. Lord Ram is asking, should I accept or not? And what is scope for me? There is no scope for me. Vibhishan is a qualified person. He actually gave up. You know, at the very crucial moment he left and he came. And still there was a discussion going on. So what is my scope? Because, you know, Dhanadhar Das has similar, if not Ravana-like, but he had a background of lust because he was attached to a woman very dearly. And Ramachandra actually saved him from that. And even that lady became a nice devotee. And both of them became a very nice devotee. But then he was feeling, after all these things, the Lord is not going to accept me. Because what is my scope? And then Ramachandra smiles. He smiles and he says, please you sit down. Then he says that Vibhishan was discussed because he approached Lord Ram directly. Of course, he was asking Sugriva, but he was not asking him. He was asking that I want to see him. Although it was through Sugriva, but the question was, I want to see Lord Ram because I want to surrender. It was not that, can you please ask whether can I surrender to Lord Ram? Please arrange this. That was not the kind of question. So he said, Vibhishan approached Lord Ram directly, therefore there was a discussion. But we are approaching Lakshmi, Sri, or in our case Radharani. So therefore Radharani will not discuss anything. If you say, she'll just pass. So we are going through Guru Shishya Parampara. Ramachandra, then he says, I am not going to discuss. If somebody comes to me, I am not going to discuss. I will immediately accept. And if I accept, what is your fear? The Lord has to accept. So in this way we see, the Lord gives a chance through His own example and through His devotees to surrender and be peaceful and have access to higher rasas. Hare Krishna. There is a small story on war. Are there any questions or comments? So the Lord comes to establish dharma, then a right ruling so that people can think of liberation, give pleasure to His devotees through His pastimes, and give peace a chance. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.